Please be seated. I want to welcome everyone on this Welcome Back Sunday. If you are a first-time worshiper here at Applebee, please take advantage of the joint barbecue with the Scouts after church today. And for regular Applebee worshipers, please remember to be good hosts and get to know some of the scouting neighbors outside over lunch today. Also, remember to take home this insert. It's a paraphrase of one of today's scriptures from the book of Hebrews. Read it over as a devotion or a topic of prayer this week. It's a pretty good definition of how to be church and live in community with one another. There's lots of different announcements in the bulletin. There is an ad for the dementia workshop at the Burlington East Presbyterian Church, a rummage sale, an artisan announcement, and much, much more, including the start times of Morning Glories and Music Ministries this week. We have some sad news among us. I think maybe a week, 2 weeks ago, I asked us to keep Donna Benz in our thoughts and prayers. She passed away at Carpenter Hospice this morning at 6:30. There will be a memorial service on September 29th. It's the same day her dad died, and this makes it possible for her nephew and niece to attend, and our thoughts and prayers are with her. Betty Daly asked me to say thank you to you. If you remember, Al sang in the choir all the time. She was on the palliative care list, and her heart has gotten stronger, and the doctor has taken her off that list. She's not sure what her future holds, but if we can continue to keep her in our thoughts and prayers. Thinking of prayers, please remember those affected by Hurricane Dorian, the Bahamas, the Carolinas, and Nova Scotia. I've heard people ask, is there anything we can do to help the people in the Bahamas? If you go on the United Church website, you just scroll down to where it says social action, and you'll see an image of, I think, a palm tree being whipped by the wind, and it says donate to Hurricane Dorian Relief, and you can click that, and it'll take you to a site. We work through the United Methodist Church of the Caribbean and the Americas, and also through ACT, Action by Churches Together, and a group of them are going there to assess what needs to be done. Some people also mentioned we need to celebrate as Canadians that, Bianca Andreescu won the Grand Slam. And so that's pretty awesome. As Canadians, we have had a woman. There you go. We know who told me, right? You know, someone's very excited about this. And so it's great as a country we now have a tennis player who's won the Grand Slam. That's super. Through the lighting of the Christ candle, we remember Jesus' presence in our midst. And through the lighting of the Christ candle, we open ourselves to the love and grace of God that we celebrate in worship. Besides opening ourselves to the presence of God through the lighting of the Christ candle, we do through our opening prayers. And this morning we're going to do something a few times because the theme is what is church. I think many of you used to do this. You put your fingers together, remember? You know, and it's like, here is the church, remember? Here is the steeple, open the doors, and there's all the people, okay? So that's going to be part of our prayers today. So maybe we can start by doing that. It's a great way to think about coming back, okay? Here is the church. Here is the steeple. Open the door, and here are the people. The church is made up of all kinds of people, short and tall, young and old, and in between. Skin of every tone on earth and colorful languages to match. Together we celebrate. When we feel out, when extroverts or quiet contemplatives, the rainbow expression of faith, all gathered in. Together we celebrate. Each one of us has an important part to play, a story to tell, a voice for singing, an insight to share, a talent to offer. Together we celebrate. Here is the church, here is the steeple, open the door, and here are the people. Let us pray. Creator Spirit, you know and love everything about us. You are aware of the waves of feelings and the sparks of thought throughout our days. Mindful of our moments and actions, our work and our play, our leisure and our sleeping. We are held by you through the palm of creation. May you be attentive to your holding now and bask in your affirmation. We will praise you, for truly we are wonderfully made. Amen. Let us sing the hymn, come in and sit down. The words are in both bulletins and on the screen, because when they made Voices United, they left out what I consider the most important verse, which is the second. And you can see why, maybe, when you sing it. Please be seated. Let's again remember who we are as church. So here is the church. Here is the steeple. Open the door and free all the people. Time of reflection. Like young birds taking flight from their maternal nest, you desire our freedom. Yet we often restrict ourselves and others, diminishing life in so many ways. We fasten our faith experiences with rigid rules, doctrines, ideas as acceptable. Free our hearts as we pray. As individuals, we bind ourselves to shoulds and woulds and oughts imposed on us by external voices, often from ages past. Free our hearts, we pray. We also enslave one another by using others for our gain and silencing voices of dissent. Free our hearts, we pray. Here is the church. Here is the steeple. Open the door and free all the people. Let us take a moment to pray for Appleby United Church as we begin another season this year. Amen. Let us celebrate with the assurance of God's never-ending love and grace towards us and all people. With liberated hearts, we affirm once again, our freedom is your desire. You forgive liberally and love generously in order to free our hearts. May we do likewise for ourselves and others. Amen. Here is the church. Here is the steeple. Open the door and free all the people. Amen. Our first lesson this morning is from the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, focusing on church.
Keep on loving one another as Christians. Remember to welcome strangers into your homes. There were some who did that and welcomed angels without knowing it. Remember those who are in prison as though you were in prison with them. Remember those who are suffering as though you were suffering as they are. Marriage is to be honored by all, and husbands and wives must be faithful to each other. God will judge those who are immoral and those who commit adultery. Keep your lives free from the love of money, and be satisfied with what you have. For God has said, I will never leave you. I will never abandon you. Let us be bold then and say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can anyone do to me? Remember your former leaders who spoke God's message to you. Think back on how they lived and died and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do not let all kinds of strange teachings lead you from the right way. It is good to receive inner strength from God's grace, and not by obeying rules about ceremonial foods. Those who obey these rules have not been helped by them. Let us then always offer praise to God as our sacrifice through Jesus, which is the offering presented by lips that confess him as Lord. Do not forget to do good and to help one another, because these are the sacrifices that please God. Thank you for his word.
And our gospel lesson today is from Luke chapter 14, verses 1, and then 7 to 14, humility and hospitality. One Sabbath, Jesus went to eat a meal at the home of one of the leading Pharisees, and people were watching Jesus closely. Jesus noticed how some of the guests were choosing the best places, so he told this parable to them. When someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not sit down in the best place. It could happen that someone more important than you has been invited, and your host, who invited both of you, would have to come and say to you, "Let him have this place." Then you would be embarrassed and have to sit in the lowest place. Instead, when you are invited, go and sit in the lowest place, so that your host will come to you and say, "Come on up, my friend, to a better place." This will bring you honor in the presence of all other guests. For those who make themselves great will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be made great. Then Jesus said this to his host. When you give a lunch or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or your rich neighbors. For they will invite you back, and in this way you will be paid for what you did. When you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed, because they are not able to pay you back. And God will repay you on the day the good people rise from the dead. Thanks be to God for these words.
Oh Lord, creator in
Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. How many of you would agree that good neighbors are invaluable? Anybody agree with that? Thank you. Any of you have good neighbors? Awesome. Awesome. Would you like to say or shout out what makes a good neighbor? In a word or two.
Friendliness.
Friendliness. Thank you. Anything else?
Quiet.
Quiet. Thank you. Anything else?
Kindness.
Kindness. Thank you. Any other words you describe a good neighbor?
Thoughtful.
Thank you.
Helpful.
Thank you. Absolutely. What?
Familiarity.
Has awesome tools.
I like that. Who likes to share, right? Who likes to share? And we remember to take them back, right? You know, absolutely. Who has awesome tools? Thank you very much. I am Alan Warren, and today's message is What is the Church? And thank you for gathering on this Welcome Back Sunday. Today you will learn a little bit about the New Testament. You'll learn a central message in the church is not only supporting and caring for each other, but also to welcome or to care and support the stranger in our midst. And to learn about a modern day example of a letter that shows us, in a sense, how maybe the letters came together and included in the New Testament. They were considered so good and helpful that they were eventually considered our sacred stories. Now today, I want you to imagine you're trying to describe what church is to someone who knows absolutely nothing about it. So think of that for a moment. Describe what church is to someone who knows absolutely nothing about it. So that's your question today. Turn around, find someone you usually don't talk to that much, say hello, and how would you describe church to someone who knows nothing about it? Or at least think about it in your own mind. Go ahead, go. Stop. Now you won't be able to continue these conversations at Coffee and Conversation today because you'll be out having your hot dogs and hamburgers and introducing yourself and saying hello to the scouting families who are there. So can you shout out in a word or two how you would describe church? Anybody? Family, thank you. Church family, fellowship, thank you. Anything else? Gathering, thank you.
Food,
thank you. Music, thank you. Anything else?
Community,
thank you very much.
Shared values.
Shared values, thank you. Where do those values come from?
In worship,
thank you. Faith, thank you. Our scriptures, the message and stories of Jesus, you know, are rooted. I think that's where our values are rooted in, shared values. Now, when Jesus did not return almost immediately after his death, resurrection, and then ascension into heaven, in many ways, the church was born. Believers started to ask themselves, what do we do now? What does it mean to settle in for the long haul as a group of people who believe the life and teachings of Jesus are foundational to our lives and give us life? Or put another way, what does it mean to be church? And I think that's a great question to start as we begin, in many ways, another church year in September. Now, the New Testament, as a big book, is broken, I think, into two main parts. Any idea what the first part might be? What are the first few books of the Bible? Anybody want to shout them out? Thank you. Those are the first books of the Bible. I should have said New Testament. What are the first books of the New Testament? I apologize. The Gospels. Thank you. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Thank you. So the first part of the New Testament centers on the life of Jesus. Any ideas what the second part of the New Testament focuses on? The Acts of the Apostles, thank you very much. And the birth of what?
Christianity,
the church, thank you very much. It's through Acts and all the various letters, most of which were written or attributed to Paul. It was the start of the life of the church. People who met in Jesus' name. And from those letters, they were helping to teach one another, what does it mean to be church? You see, being a follower of Jesus was synonymous with being a part of a community of faith that centered around the life and teachings of Jesus. There was no such thing as a solitary Christian. The book of Hebrews falls into this pattern in chapter 13, in a sense, is trying to sum up the message. What is church? Or what is this community that gathers in Jesus' name? Keep on loving one another, and do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, some of you have entertained angels without knowing it or unaware. Keep on loving one another. Doesn't that sound familiar? Do you remember what Jesus said? Love one another as? Thank you. As I have loved you. Now, most of us find it very easy to love family and friends, people we know. And as a church family, things like morning glories, the pastoral care committee, coffee at 10, being a part of music ministries and other small groups, fellowship times after church, we do that. We do just that. We try and be supportive of people we know here going through the ups and downs of life. Getting older, doctor's appointments, worrying about children and grandchildren, sickness and diseases. The people reading the book of Hebrews knew about these things, supporting one another. People in the early church were often persecuted for their beliefs, and life wasn't easy, imprisonment and torture. So supporting one another in difficult times is an important part of being the church and also being a follower of Jesus. But the book of Hebrews doesn't end there. It goes on to remind people to welcome the stranger and extend hospitality to them. And that's the hard part. You know, there seems to be something in human DNA that we are afraid of the stranger. We are afraid of the person who is different than I am. Yet this theme of welcoming the stranger is repeated over and over again in the scriptures. The early stories of Abraham and Sarah, who prepared a lavish meal for some travelers going by. If you remember that story, they were strangers. The retelling of the Exodus story coming out of Egypt, the Ten Commandments, we hear a constant refrain. Remember the widow, the orphan, and the foreigner in your midst. Why? Because you were once the foreigner in the land of Egypt. You were once the one that was looked upon with fear and suspicion. The strange thing, when you welcome the stranger, you often find a blessing. God is inviting us to build a culture of trust and kindness, generosity, not fear, hate, resentment, and division. Now that passage from Luke today and Jesus' teaching reinforces this. Who do you usually invite to a dinner party? First of all, have any of you ever had a dinner party? Anybody ever had a dinner? Oh, thank you. What about a barbecue? You ever had a barbecue? Thank you. They're awesome. Who do you usually invite to them? Friends. Thank you. Who else? Family. Thank you. Absolutely. Friends, family, people you know. Who does Jesus ask you to invite? The stranger, thank you. The crippled, the blind, the lame, the stranger, the new person on the block. When you do that, you remember what Jesus said, you will be rewarded. Thank you. You will be blessed. Do you remember how you met some of your closest friends? Were they once strangers to you? Yeah. How did you overcome the distance?
Look for things in common.
Look for things in common. Thank you. So that a stranger becomes a friend. Today at the church barbecue, we all have an opportunity to extend hospitality to the stranger. There's some tables out there. Leave some room. Remember I said last week to invite a scouting family to join you for lunch. And if some of your friends from church come to sit down, you say, do you mind going to another table so we can invite someone, some of the scouts? And don't feel insulted. Okay? And we need to remember this at coffee time after church. Who do we usually talk to? Our friends, be on the lookout for the newcomer, the stranger, the first-time welcomer, worshiper. And remember to say to your friends, you know, George, I'd love to chat with you today. I'm going to call you when I get home, but there's someone who I don't know very well, and I'm going to go over and talk to them. Do you want to join me? Okay? Those are habits we need to become aware of and do. Now I realize in today's culture, what do we often teach our children? Thank you. Don't talk to strangers. Be aware of the stranger. Do not accept a ride in a stranger's car, right? And it's sad that we live in this kind of world. And sometimes we read in the newspaper about, you know, a character hanging around schools. So we need to teach our children and ourselves to be street smart. But as one author said, it is sad when we carry this fear of the other, the fear of the stranger into adulthood, and miss an opportunity to entertain angels unaware and be blessed. Have you ever received a blessing from a stranger?
Yes.
I know I have. Thank you. Have you ever been lost and someone says, "You look lost"? And I says, "You have no idea how lost I am." You know, and they help you. And I don't know about you, but when I take the GO train to Toronto now and get off at the station, how many of you get lost in the new underground? Yeah, because of all the changes. For many, many years. So I have to go and ask the security officer, or someone helps me. The seasons of the Spirit ask these challenging questions. Think of a time in your life when you felt welcomed. What helped you feel that way? Then think of a time in your life when you felt unwelcomed. Why did you feel that way? We are challenged as followers of Jesus to spend some silent time, we mirror it in our service, silent reflection on these questions. Think of a time we felt welcomed. Think of a time we felt unwelcomed. Because as we reflect on these as individuals and as a church, we can be more welcoming of the stranger and live out the commandment Jesus gave us. Love one another as I have
loved you.
Thank you. What is the church? The letter in Hebrews, followers of Jesus are reminded to love one another and to welcome the stranger in their midst. Now, the stranger isn't just the new person who comes to church on Sunday, but rather the stranger on your block. I think most of us have new people moving into our neighborhoods, in the office, on the GO train, immigrants new to the community. In the final verse today, we're asked to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. To do good and share what you have. What is something that we as the church hate to talk about? Dollar bill sign? Yeah, we don't like to talk about money. In one of the preceding verses, it said, keep your lives free from the love of money and be satisfied with what you have. For as God says, I will never leave you or forsake you. The Message Bible says, don't be obsessed with getting more material things. Be relaxed with what you have. You see, why we don't like to talk about money, Jesus says lots about money. Because he knows it affects where our focus is. Do you remember the passage, the lilies of the field? You know? Don't be so anxious about not having enough that you forget to notice and enjoy what you have. The question about the silver coin, whose face is on it paying taxes. How many of you love to pay your taxes? Put your hands up. Okay, most of us don't, but I mean, you know, there's some things here. What do taxes give us that we might like? Roads. Anybody been to the hospital lately? You know, all those sort of things. The story of a man who has a bumper crop and doesn't know what to do with his crop, so he builds bigger barns to store it in. I don't know if you remember that story Jesus told. You know what happened to the man that night? Thank you. You remembered. He died. Don't become so preoccupied with getting that you forget to give and help others. What is the church? It is a place to remind us to do good and share what we have to help others and you will receive a blessing. Wow. What a secret. Give, receive a blessing. Now, it's not just in the old letters that we get ideas on how to be church, but also some newer ones. Anybody remember a person by the name of Martin Luther King Jr.? His letter from Birmingham Jail is often thought of something that can teach the church a lot about how to be a witness in the community. In June, the end of June, the Maryland church leaders wrote an open letter to Trump regarding a tweet that contained slurs against the city of Baltimore. I want to read it today because in many ways it too could be, maybe in time, kept as a letter to remind us of what it is to be church. It begins. Recently, much to our dismay and profound sadness, you publicly slurred our beloved city of Baltimore in a tweet. It is all too easy to look for scapegoats and fault others for long-standing and systemic problems that beset every community. Cities bring together diverse races, language, cultures, economic and social conditions, and are frequent targets for those who cannot or will not see the beauty, their beauty, through the eyes of God and their inhabitants. The prophet Jeremiah uplifted his people who were in despair and says, "The Lord of hosts says, seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare." To their detractors, cities are often seen only through the lens of social evils such as poverty, crime, violence, and racism. To God, however, cities are seen as primary vessels of hope, lights of God's reign, and opportunities to live in blessed community. Wow! Our cities are to be lights, hope, places of blessed community. In Baltimore, people of faith are teaching children to read, study, play, and grow in safe environments, reaching out to high school students in programs that keep them off the streets and expand their opportunities, saving the lives of those addicted by opiates, alcohol, and other drugs, reclaiming abandoned buildings for housing and other community needs, helping recent immigrants and refugees to settle into and thrive in their environments, feeding, clothing, and housing those who have nowhere else to turn, nowhere else to help them. Planting trees, growing gardens, cleaning up streets and waterways to protect God's good earth from pollution. Every day they are demonstrating their commitment to loving God and their neighbor as themselves. Our people are showing us all how to live and how to lead. Today, more than ever, we need visionary leaders like Jeremiah. In an open society of honest disagreements and political differences, it's especially imperative that leaders do not insult, demean, dehumanize, and divide people and communities. Good leaders lift up, call people together, bring out the best in them. Wow, what a challenging letter, and what a definition of what it means to be church in your community. What is church? Church provides an opportunity for living in blessed community. Most of us say that when we define what church is. Loving and supporting each other, and then we extend it to those in the wider neighborhood. It is a group of people that see the beauty of cities, their neighborhoods, and their inhabitants through the eyes of God and the teachings of Jesus. They are vessels of hope and lights of God's reign. and through its work and witnesses, churches call people together, lift them up, and bring out the best in them. What a challenge. Thanks be to God. Amen. Our next hymn is number 556. Would you bless our homes and families in Voices United, the hard-covered hymn book. 556. Would you bless our homes and please be seated. Through your offering, you help the church in its ministry of doing good and helping others, thus being a beacon of light and hope in this community and the world, all in Jesus' name. We'll now have our morning's offering. Thank you.
wherever God's people are happy.
Let us pray. Through these offerings, along with the gift of our hands and our hearts, we help your reign of love and hope and compassion grow in our lives and in our world, O God. Amen. Please be seated. Near the end of the prayer today, there will be a time of silence. If you want to name names of people that you want to hold in your thoughts and prayers in this coming week, feel free, or just do it in the private and silence of your own heart. Let us pray. Gracious God, each of us is part of a larger whole. We're members of extended families, residents of suburbs, towns, parts of church families, citizens and subjects of nations, and beings in your good creation. Be with us as the lazy days of summer come to an end and the fall season begins. By your Spirit, we are linked together, and through spirited compassion, we share a common joy in suffering. May we be mindful of the fullness of life's experience, that which is ours, and especially in this time of prayer, that which makes up the day-to-day existence of others. We pray for suffering that comes from aging bodies and divided families, scraped knees and broken dreams and lost jobs. We also pray for those suffering the devastation of the Hurricane Dorian in the Bahamas, the Carolinas, and Nova Scotia. With hearts open to compassion, we pray that mutual love prevails. With suffering that comes from inhospitality, manifested in prejudice, racism, sexism, misunderstanding, and fear, we are aware of the painful realities resulting from an imbalance of power and wealth in our nation and the world. With our hearts open to compassion, we pray that mutual love prevails. We open our hearts now to the gathered community and allow ourselves to feel the joys and concerns of one another, again spoken aloud, naming names, or in a time of silence of those that we need to keep in our thoughts and prayers in this coming week. We think of Donna Bend and her family. We think of Betty Daly and her family. With hearts open to compassion, we pray that mutual love prevails. This we ask in Jesus' name, who has asked us to dream together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our closing hymn is Sing a Happy Hallelujah, number 224. To help us to dance out into the week that is before us with God's love and grace.
We're the proof of God's good humor. We're the twinkle in God's eye, made to shine, reflect the glory, given light and space to fly. Hallelujah, all creation. Hallelujah, everyone. Hallelujah, all creation. Hallelujah, everyone. Sarah laughed at God's good timing. Mary sang and David danced. Jesus smiled and hugged the children. So is life for us in hands. Hallelujah, all creation. Hallelujah, everyone. Hallelujah, all creation. Hallelujah, everyone. Every day we hallelujah. We are loved, though so absurd. Human foolish, chosen people.
Blessing. It is time for us to go our separate ways, and we who were gathered will now depart from one another.
We are the soul.